You found us. Welcome to the Hullminster Podcast, a church in the centre of Hull. Your place to worship, enjoy, explore and to belong. If you'd like more information in how you can get involved, visit our website at www.hullminster.org.
Thanks, Tom.
And thanks, Tom.
Thank the Toms. It's great. Yeah, as Tom mentioned...
Which Tom?
This Tom. As Tom White said, we're going to do a mini-series exploring the servant king that we worship in this sort of time before Advent. And we're going to be using the Gospel of Mark over the next 3 weeks. So I'd encourage you and invite you in the next few weeks to go away and read the middle of Mark. Well, read the whole of it if you can, but particularly chapters 9, 10 and 11, which is where you're going to find us over the next 3 weeks. And tonight, we're going to be unpacking this theme of humility, which is hopefully a challenge to us, but also a challenge to our world and the culture in which we live. A culture of self-importance, a proud world, where we're told to be focused on thinking more of ourselves. We're told to think more about ourselves and perhaps less about others. And the challenge tonight in the reading and in this passage is that the king that we worship is a very different sort of king. Very different approach to kingship. So my prayer, my hope is that in the next 3 weeks we will learn more about a servant king and the kingdom that we're called to be part of. So I invite you again just to have the passage in front of you, if there's Bibles around. Chapter 9, beginning at verse 30. Now just before this, Jesus has been ministering and doing many miracles and speaking to the disciples, particularly in parables. And parables, of course, were kind of things that had a almost set in code, that sense, wasn't there? That often the disciples didn't always get it, we read. The disciples often struggled. They heard the kind of surface level message, but they didn't hear the hidden messages. They didn't always hear that kind of underlying message. They were gradual learners, but they were probably a bit like us. It takes a few times to hear a message. And that said, we hear in the passage that they were keen to be taught, that Jesus spent time teaching them. So what we read is a kind of a snippet, 10 verses written down that summarises the fact that actually they spent a lot of time away from the crowds, we read, with Jesus, listening to him, their teacher. Their teacher. So as we arrive at the passage tonight, I think it's really important that we look at the context of it. So in chapter 9, Jesus had been healing a boy with an evil spirit, rebuking it, commanding it to leave this boy in the name of Jesus. And then in private, he goes away and tells the disciples that the boy was only healed by the power of prayer. Simple, you could say now, but actually Jesus was having to remind the disciples that it was by the power of prayer that he was in that moment. So here tonight we read several times that Jesus was ministering and healing and doing miracles, but then he would make a quiet exit. And that, I guess in a sense, the theme tonight is all set around that. As we explore kingdom humility, what does it look like to minister, to serve God in a world where we don't want to get all the credit? As I said at the start, the world is calling us to think more of ourselves. But tonight we're exploring about when less is more and the power of humility. The Bible calls us to be a people of humility. So how can we grow in being humble? In holding a low view of our importance? In not being proud? In being aware of our needs for Jesus and of what he has accomplished? Now perhaps this theme, this kind of characteristic of being humble is an obvious one. Of course, God can also humble us. And at times, we know that, don't we? At times you know God has humbled you in your life. But the Bible here is calling us to proactively be people who are people of a humble nature, living out lives that are full of humility. So I'm going to share 4 points, 4 ways that we can grow in humility. Firstly, we can grow in humility by growing in your understanding of the cross. If you want to think of yourself less, we think of Christ more. So let's read verse 30 and verse 31 again. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise." Again, Jesus is not looking to build a crowd around him. He's actually avoiding people. He didn't want them to know where they were. It was custom in that time for when rabbis were speaking, when they were teaching, everybody would sit down. So there's a sense that they would stop. And obviously, we read those 2 verses, but that could have been a longer period of time in which they would have been sitting, listening to his teaching. And the significant thing here, as we focus, zoom in on these 10 verses today, is that he was not teaching in a parable at this point. They were so used to him teaching in parables that it was pretty blunt. The Son of Man was to be put to death, and after 3 days, he will rise again. Not only does he surprise them by not talking in parables, but there was no underlying message here, no hidden agenda. He was suggesting the unsuggestible. These people had no idea that a king would be killed and then come back from the dead. And so he goes on to say in verse 32, but they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. Just put yourselves in their shoes for a minute. You're trying to understand who your leader is, who Jesus is, but you're afraid to ask him about it. The first point we can learn about growing in humility is to grow in our understanding of the cross. Jesus often had to repeat himself to the disciples, or to say the message in a different way, a more simplistic way. And perhaps tonight, as you're gathered here, you've heard somewhere in your past a message of humility, that we're called to grow in humility with Jesus. So perhaps I need to start with an invitation, just as he did with the disciples, to hear the message again, to try and seek something fresh from this message of humility, a new insight, a new truth. In Luke 9, verse 44, which is the kind of parallel passage, the same story, parallel passage, Luke says this. He says, "Let these words sink into your ears." I guess that's our prayer tonight. As we learn about the cross, let these words sink into our ears. Because the cross is more than an insurance policy that kind of saves us from eternal hell. It's about the way that we enter God's kingdom. It's about who he was. It's about him coming to this earth, humbling himself, tasting death for you and I. It's about Christ's righteousness, justice, wisdom, that in one man he would punish the sins of all who believe. Learning about the cross is to recognise God's love, that God himself should die for us. So we learn about what it means to have our sins forgiven. They were moved as far as east is from west. Sit at the foot of the cross and know that you have found freedom and redemption. As we've been singing earlier, healing and wholeness. We grow in humility by growing in this understanding. Understanding the cross. So, then there's a big argument in the passage. We read verses 33 and 34. "They came to Capernaum, where he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Does that sound familiar in any of your family lives or any situations at work or competitive nature that some of us perhaps have? Who's the greatest? Well, the second way we can grow in humility is to avoid unhealthy comparisons. That challenge to knock comparison completely on the head. We grow in humility by avoiding unhealthy comparisons. Jesus has caught them. He's caught them at it. He's caught them arguing. As they're journeying together, you can imagine these disciples, late teenagers, maybe early 20s, their kind of human nature keeps seeping out. And he clocked them. This time they were arguing over who was the greatest. Again, just before this, and this is what I've read the whole of Mark 9 before preparing tonight, because just before this was the Transfiguration. And that was a moment where three of the 12 disciples were chosen. Peter, James and John were taken up to the high mountain and they witnessed Jesus being transfigured, dazzling in a heavenly white. And he told the three of them, "Don't tell anybody." But you can imagine the kind of thoughts of favouritism and greatness that they may have been sort of fueling their arguments between the 12 of them. You can imagine them kind of trying to argue over what rank they'll have in God's kingdom. Their understanding of every other kind of kingdom has been an earthly kingdom where there were ranks. But this was a different sort of kingdom, a servant-hearted kingdom. And the problem with comparison that we read in the disciples arguing there, but also in our own lives, is it often leads... I was trying to think of an analogy. It often leads to kind of, again, think of roots and plants and all that sort of thing. The sort of foundation of false assumption. Completely false. We start making those false assumptions, these false accusations. And the kind of the soil is rich in selfishness and pride. And then that leads to things growing within us, deep, deep within us. Jealousy, perhaps. Maybe insecurity begins to grow. And instead of following Christ, we find ourselves comparing ourselves to others or to material things or experiences that we've had or experiences we've not had but others have had. So the challenge, the invitation to us as we seek to grow in humility is to seek healthy, Christ-inspired relationships with the world around us, with those around us, but also to seeking, as we're trying to do tonight and in this community, to try and build Christ-centered community, where we build one another up rather than knocking each other down. So if you like points, I'm on to my third point. The third way in which we can grow in humility is that as we serve others, who can do nothing in return for us. We grow in humility as we serve others who can do nothing in return for us. And we do so as if we're serving Christ. If you want to pick up your Bibles in verse 35. We read, "Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, 'If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last. And the servant of all.'" And then he gives an example to help us process this. In verse 36, he says this, "He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me.'" In the Gospels, we often hear Jesus talking about children. We often hear about childlike faith, which is a really important message. But that's not this message. and not to be confused with this message as soon as we sort of hear him talking about children. Again, the context, and this is kind of hard hitting, but in that day, children were not valued as they were today, especially when they were younger. And bluntly, this was because the kind of historians reckon about half of children would not reach the age of five. About half of children would pass away before age five. And in that culture, that meant that they were not valued as we value children today. Parents kind of guarded themselves from emotional attachment so that they could avoid the potential heartbreak of loss, particularly with very young children. So when Jesus, in verse 36, 37, takes this little child, it's as if he's saying, the child can't do anything for you. This child can't serve you, can't create an income stream for you, can't take over the family business. There's no guarantee this child will be with you when he's five. And therefore, the way that you demonstrate and grow in humility is when you serve people who can't do anything for you in return, just like this young child. And our tendency particularly in the West, but in our kind of selfish lives, is to serve, or to only serve, people who can do something in return for us. We tend to serve people who can return something. Often, I don't know, maybe you invite someone over for a drink, and you sort of expect that they'll be the next ones that will invite you back to their house. Or you do something for someone as a favour, and you know that they sort of owe you one. And what Jesus is saying is that true humility breaks through all of that. Just completely breaks it down. That challenge to invite people, to serve people, to cater for people, to love people who feel really unlovable at times, without expecting anything in return. That's a challenge for us this week, isn't it? Who can we love that we can't get anything back from? Or we won't expect anything back from? What's our motivation that leads us to action? What does tomorrow look like if you serve others who can do nothing for you in return? I quite like the challenge of that. That idea that maybe there's something, an opportunity for us this week. Something a bit infectious there. That we can grow in humility by simply serving. Finally, fourthly, we grow in humility when we can celebrate God's blessing on others who are ministering in Jesus' name. When we can celebrate what God is doing, who are ministering in his name. Turn with me to verse 38. "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." As we read that, and as we kind of know that the context in which the gospel was written, we might even smile at that or think, "Oh, well, why would they say that?" Knowing that we're a church who are called to serve in Jesus' name. But this was a man driving out demons who wasn't one of the first 12 disciples. And we don't know who it was. As commentators have kind of speculated who it might be. In Luke, we read that there were the 72 servants that the Lord had anointed in chapter 10. But whoever it was, they were doing something familiar in Jesus' name. They were serving in Jesus' name. Therefore, they were also a disciple of Jesus. And it's clear here, isn't it, that the disciples were kind of unnerved that somebody else was ministering on their soil in Jesus' name. And again, perhaps there's a message in there for us tonight, something we can take from that. That kind of precious feel that we sometimes have about the way that we do things. And the way that we do things with our Christian faith. That feeling when somebody else is effective in the name of Jesus, when they're effective at what they do, but it's not the way that you do it. It's such a challenge because it's so easy for us to get caught up in that. And it's probably easier to be like them, to be like the disciples, and just to jump to the kind of critical mindset. Or worse still, we can kind of find ourselves trying to stop people who are ministering in Jesus' name because they're doing it a different way to how we want it done. And I guess here at the Minster, that's it's one of the challenges, you know, that clearly there is not one way of doing church, which is great, but it also brings its challenges. And it's reflected, I guess, in our diverse Christian community. And one of the things we've been exploring, that if you've been with us the last 6, 7, 8 weeks, exploring the vision statement, there's no excuse to be able to find a reason to celebrate what God is doing and how God is blessing others around us. That's humility. It speaks directly to the part of us, that kind of selfish part that thinks that we know best, even when others are effective in the way that they're serving Christ. So Jesus replied, as he often does, in verse 39. "Do not stop him," Jesus said, "for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us." Humility says, I don't know everything, but I trust in what the Bible says and celebrate what Jesus is doing among us. We don't need to think about our needs, but we're invited to fix our eyes on him. And that's where we find strength in our Saviour and our Redeemer. So let's just recap. The ways we can grow in humility today, tonight, this week, we can grow in our understanding of the cross, in avoiding unhealthy comparisons, in serving others who can do nothing in return for us, and in celebrating God's blessing on others who are ministering in Jesus' name. I'm just going to close with some words from Isaiah chapter 66. This is verse 2. "Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." Amen.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed listening to one of our sermons. If you'd like to learn more about what we do, then follow us on social media or visit our website, www.holminster.org.